Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, on yesterday's show, we reviewed Al Gore's new cable channel, Current TV. Maybe you heard it. And Current TV is targeted heavily to viewers in their 20s. And one of the things that came up was the notion of this so-called Generation Y and who they are compared with the Gen Xers and baby boomers who preceded them. The notion came up that they are pious and optimistic as a group, among other things. Of course, all generalizations about generations are imperfect, but there are tendencies in different age groups, and we thought we would look a little further into the question of who are today's Americans born from roughly, and the years on this vary, roughly the late 70s to 2000, and known to demographers by various names, Generation Y, the new millennials or new mills, the echo boom generation, the children, meaning children of the baby boom, and even the 13th generation. We'll speak with the woman who coined that last term. And we'll open up the phones and invite, let's say, anyone under 30 to call in as part of our summer dialogue series on the question, do you think your generation is different in general than the Xers or the boomers? And if so, how? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, if you identify as Gen Y. Are the generational differences different still by race or ethnicity? You can answer that. How would you define your generational values and attitudes and tastes and behaviors compared to your boomer parents or Gen X big brothers and sisters and cousins? You can answer that. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And while you're coming in, two guests are joining me. Ann Fishman is the president of Generational Targeted Marketing. That's a company in New Orleans. And Imani Perry is a Rutgers law professor and author of the book Prophets of the Hood, Politics and Poetics in Hip Hop, published by the Duke University Press. So Ann Fishman, Imani Perry, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Ann Fishman, are you there? I think that was Professor Perry, right?
And delighted to be here.
Okay. Ann Fishman, for yourself, why do you study generational behavior and attitudes? And did you coin that term, 13th generation?
No.
That term
was coined by historians Neil Howe and William Strauss. I call them professionally Gen Ys because it is the easiest, frankly, it is so easy to call them Gen Y. And out in the public arena, they're called Gen Y.
Okay, so that was my mistake. So,
that's okay. I make them, too.
So you're with a marketing company, and
yes.
What are you learning about this generation that helps you sell to them?
Well, this generation is, first of all, you're right on target when you say they're an optimistic generation. This generation is extremely different from the generation that preceded them, Gen X. The reason that they are different is that this generation had the tremendous support of three societal support systems: strong family, strong religion, strong government programs. It gave them a sense of optimism, and if I had to choose one word to describe them, it would be empowered.
All right. And pious? Did you agree with that word also? Because the two-word description that had come up in an email yesterday and then our guests then tended to generally agree with was optimistic and pious. Would you go there?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
I wouldn't call them pious. I think pious has a slightly negative connotation to it. They're civic-minded. They care about others. This generation was greatly influenced by the deaths of Mother Teresa and Linda McCartney, Princess Diana, and the civic work that these women had done. Younger Gen Ys are being greatly influenced by the Live 8 concerts held around the world to showcase the need for aid in Africa for poverty.
You think those were really big things in the lives of these folks as they were growing up? The death of Princess Di, the death of Linda McCartney?
What happens is with the generation and what causes generational characteristics is, no, not one thing is a big thing unless it happens to be something like 9/11. But what is a big thing is that when you have a tremendous amount of smaller things that all focus a generation toward a certain characteristic. So, no, this wasn't the defining moment in their lives. But when you have a mass of young children who are constantly encouraged in the schools through the media to be civic-minded, to do work on behalf of others, then all of these small details begin
to add up,
make a big characteristic.
Imani Perry, where would you start with this generation?
Well, I would start by saying that they are certainly market savvy because they live in a media-saturated environment. I think that they are more responsible than Generation Xers, both sexually responsible with respect to drugs and alcohol. They really have taken to heart the various kinds of warnings and examples of the previous generation. I'm not certain about the degree of optimism, particularly with the younger portion of the sort of young teenagers in Gen Y, because studies have shown there's a significant proportion of them who are who have some trepidation about the future as a result of 9/11 and the war and the serious political and social divides, the culture wars going on in our country. So I would temper the description of them with optimistic the reality that they have some significant concerns about the direction of our of our world. They're incredibly technologically savvy. They have far more sophistication than the generation preceding them, which I think is an unusual dynamic. So they know frequently more about how to do various sorts of things than their teachers or parents. And I think they are they certainly believe in equality and some sense of social responsibility. They 48% of them believe in remedial actions to respond to racial inequality. 53% of them support gay marriage. So they're also not just sway towards being more politically liberal, but I think towards thinking about how you pursue equality.
Do you, Professor Imani, think that it's a more earnest, less ironic generation than the ironic and skeptical Generation X?
I think they probably are more earnest as a result of being faced with, the real clear kind of tensions, divides, problems of our world at a young age. I think they're far less sort of, there's much less ability to be kind of self-involved when things are, as complicated as they are now.
If I could jump in a bit, I would. I sort of disagree with some of these things. I'd like to maybe enhance some of the things that were said. Optimism does not imply that you are not worried about things that are going on in the world around you, but it does imply that you feel as if you have the skills to handle what life is throwing at you. And Generation Y does have this sense of optimism that, yes, they feel empowered enough to feel as if they can have good lives with enough power left over to help other people. So optimism does not imply that you're not aware of what's around you. This generation is replacing the GI generation, which was an optimistic generation. Obviously, the GI generation was aware that there were problems in the world and they dealt with them. That, to me, is the focus of this optimistic characteristic. And the difference between the generation that preceded them, Gen X and Gen Y, Gen Xers were appropriately cynical, and rightly so, because they did not have the support of those three societal systems, family, religion, and government programs. They are reacting to what they have to face with an appropriate amount of cynicism. So each generation has something that history forced it to have. And the fact of the matter is we need those differences among generations in order to have a complete picture.
And we'll get to the impact or potential impact of 9/11 as a historical event on a generation as we go. But my guests are Ann Fishman, president of Generational Targeted Marketing, a company in New Orleans, and Imani Perry, Rutgers law professor and author of Prophets of the Hood, Politics and Poetics in Hip Hop, as we talk about the so-called Generation Y with them and now with some of you in that generation at 212-433-WNYC and Amit in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi. Is that Amit?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a few comments related to optimism and also civic responsibility. And thirdly, I think what I see is the dichotomy between the urban and rural members of this generation. I'm 20 years old myself. I think, for one, yes, I do believe in very general terms we are an optimistic generation, but I would have to disagree with your guests that said that we have a sense of civic responsibility. I find that in our generation there has been much less done on the civic level to promote what we see as our personal beliefs as opposed to the generation of the baby boomers. And, you know, maybe that's just based on historical comparison, but I find that on a personal level, you know, people are much more willing to be open or be honest about what they believe or what they think with those that they feel comfortable with as opposed to society at large. And I find that although that can be very helpful on, you know, on some level, it doesn't really do much on the civic level. I mean, I think even if you notice now, there are not too many of us who are that active in the civic realm of society.
Let me get a reaction to that. Professor Perry, what about that? Certainly we hear that the voting participation rates go down and down with each generation. And what about some of the other things that Amit said?
Yeah, well, I think that he raises some really interesting points of the distinction between responsibility and feel and values and whether one acts on them. I actually don't know enough about the research of the in terms of the range of levels of civic engagement. Although I would say that Generation Y certainly turned up at the polls during the last election far more than expected. So that may indicate a turning of the tide. I just would want to go back for a second to say, to respond to, because my point about concern about the future was not to suggest that that meant that a generation couldn't be optimistic, but actually that instead that we should also look to the information that says that young people think that the country may be a worse place to live in the next, you know, 10 or 15 years, and there has been research that shows that. So I think that connects to, I think the young man's name is Amit, his point
yes.
about maybe there's some disjuncture between values and action that that we're seeing.
Amit, go ahead.
I think that disjuncture also needs to be linked to and what I personally see as an urban and rural divide that exists in the United States. You had people like Barack Obama, you know, during the last election saying there is no urban and rural divide. There's only this one United America. And, you know, I really have to disagree. If you look at, you know, very basic indicators such as the last presidential election, you'll find that states with heavy urban populations, you know, voted for one candidate, and states that were more
right.
rural voted for another. And I think even, you know, ever since I've gotten to university, especially interacting with people who are from rural areas and interacting with people who are from urban regions, you'll find that even members of the same generation have very different beliefs. In very general terms, obviously you can't, you know, generalize.
Mm-hmm.
Amit, we have to take a break in 20 seconds. If you had to name two cultural icons that defined your generation, you know, CDs, movies, anything like that. Could you?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there are too many of them, to be perfectly honest.
Okay. Thank you for your call, and we'll continue in a minute to talk about Gen Y. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we take phone calls in our summer dialogue series from those of you who consider yourselves members of Generation Y, roughly people born 1980 to 2000, and talk about Gen Y tendencies and what they mean with Amani Perry, professor at Rutgers Law School and author of Prophets of the Hood, Politics and Poetics in Hip Hop, and Ann Fishman, president of Generational Targeted Marketing, a New Orleans-based company. And Ann Fishman, the Wikipedia, the online open source encyclopedia, lists some Generation Y music and cultural touchstones, and it includes Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Eminem, Linkin Park, Simple Plan, The Killers, mentions those groups, while popular for several years, soon received much criticism from their own generation for being sellouts, and there's a revulsion against corporate music. Does this strike a chord with anything that you research in the marketing world?
Well, this generation is very market savvy, and they see through things that they really want their information given to them straight. They see through anything that is an attempt to market to them. Remember, these children have been raised in front of television. They've shopped all their lives. They've shopped to help out working parents. So when a group becomes too commercial, it becomes less cool. And therefore, one of the real challenges for products and services and music groups is that you have to maintain your integrity to a certain extent. And if I can go back a tiny bit, I loved what Amit said about the country being divided, because that's a baby boomer-driven characteristic. Boomers, often called the me generation, see things through their own personal interest. It really doesn't matter what your particular interest is. But Gen Ys are team players. They go to school in uniforms. They are team-taught, team-graded. And by the time Gen Ys come into power, the country will be much more unified again. It's going to take two generations to get us there. But this incredible division is a boomer-driven characteristic.
Ellen in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm 28, so I'm at the beginning of Gen Y, but I disagree with a lot of what you're saying about optimism. I know my friends and I feel very disenfranchised, feel like that we can't get ahead. You know, right now I work as a teacher, and, you know, I'm not going to become a millionaire, but I'm going to make a solid living, and I know I can't buy property or things like that. So this idea that, you know, more optimistic and that life will turn out fine, I don't really see it reflected in the people I know.
You're a Gen Xer. You're really not a Gen Y. So your reaction is absolutely appropriate for someone who's in Gen X. It's different people use different cutoff dates.
Okay.
And in my world of cutoff dates, you're a Gen Xer that's really typical of your generation and exactly right on target for your generation.
Well, I feel, because right now when you're talking about the younger kids, I guess, in Gen Y, since I'm a high school teacher, I do see the difference. They do work in teams, like we require them to work as groups, and they're definitely more tech savvy, constantly with their cell phone and instant messaging. So, all right, so sorry.
Well, do you think they're more, of course they're young, but do you think they're more optimistic? Ellen?
Yeah, I do feel they're more optimistic. They do kind of think that life is going to work out and that they're going to go to a good college and get a good job and have a nice family, which is good for them. I'm happy they feel that way.
Ellen, thank you. Edward in Portland, Oregon. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. I was listening to you in Auckland last week, actually.
That's as in New Zealand?
I was in Auckland, New Zealand, traveling about. And what's interesting, though, is in some ways, no matter where you go, I actually have to disagree with your guests and in some ways agree with the meat that I do think this level of civic-mindedness is really not present in this generation. And I would offer two cultural examples that I do think are indicative of the generation coming up. One is American Idol, and the other is South Park, because I think they both say something very...
Oh, we're losing Edward's cell phone.
...created by people not of Generation Y.
How do you see South Park? Do you see South Park as a very cynical show that kind of doesn't believe in anything or anyone?
See, it's interesting. I think South Park can be read in a lot of ways. And I think one way to read it is that it's a black comedy that ends up making fun of itself. It's a deep sense of cultural pessimism is really what it ends up being. It's portrayed as a comedy, but what it's really doing is showing the pessimism not only of the people creating it, but of the people watching it because they're so strongly associated with it. And then with American Idol, you find this strong level of narcissism. Yes, there is group participation, but the group participation not only falls apart as quickly as it starts, as shows like Survivor and other reality TV shows show, but it's also only for the sake of personal advancement and for the sake of this sort of sense of personal approval. We participate with the other because our own internal resources are so weak, like people like Christopher Lash were predicting in the late 70s.
Edward, that's all really interesting. I'm going to move on, but call us again from Portland or Auckland or wherever you happen to be, okay?
Thank you.
James in Rockland, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I think that I agree that we might be less cynical than Generation X, but we're certainly more apathetic in that we may question things like Gen Xers, but we lose interest quickly. And I don't think that, you know, I'm not that optimistic about my own generation.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
So, Ann Fishman, one trend on our phones, we're getting them in the email box, is that all kinds of people are taking issue with this characterization of optimism.
Well, you have to understand that right now, because we are in a wartime situation, basically, is that for the next several years, America is going to face a difficult time. So to be idealistically optimistic would be, certainly, I would even disagree with that. But in general, I do think that this generation, they have done civic work since pre-K. Having civic endeavors is almost mandatory for a college application. This is a group that really, that many of them want the voting age lowered to 17. Mm. They want a voice in their future. They tend to think big. There was a wonderful story about a young woman named Erin Freyan Nelson from Minnesota who ran for mayor of her town. She was 17 years old, and her campaign slogan was, "Uncorrupted by years of experience." This is a generation that really is willing to go out on a limb. For example, American Idol. American Idol, you can see it in many different ways, but it does allow an unknown to become a star. It gives them an opportunity. And all of those people who go there with this feeling that maybe they can make it does show a sense of empowerment, a sense of, I think I can do it.
So, Professor Perry, very briefly, do you see racial differences? And I realize that's another generalization that's going to be imperfect. But in the Gen Yers coming up, maybe less racial differences than, you know, in previous generations or what?
Right. I think that it probably is the case that for African-American Gen Yers, there may be somewhat less optimism in terms of the kind of larger political future, even if people have sort of personal faith in the possibilities of their life. But I actually think that the point about the differences between urban, rural, suburban, exurban, and class differences certainly play a role in the sense of possibility with respect to their futures. I mean, we live in a society and they experience deep inequalities. And segregation of disappointing proportions. And so even if they believe that the society should be different, they don't get the opportunity to interact collaboratively and to have the same degree of shared opportunities as they would probably appreciate. And so that's another, I think, aspect of you know, thinking about how do we need to look at these things across racial and cultural class lines.
And in our last minute, briefly for each of you, what kind of world do you think Generation Y people will give us when they're the leaders based on all of the experiences that feed into all these characteristics that you're talking about? Is it going to be a more conservative, traditional, security-oriented world with 9/11 and wage insecurity and everything else? Professor Perry?
I think that they will probably be very committed to deliberation. And by that I mean, I think that they will probably eventually be more politically engaged. Even the fact that so many of the people who called expressed frustration in mm-hmm. the degree of apathy indicated that they have a sense that people should be more engaged. I mean, if you compare with people's responses to those kinds of questions in the 80s, right, they were much more self-focused. Mm-hmm. So their experiences in working collaboratively, their experiences in interacting through various media, I think indicate that they will be committed to processes of deliberation, of engagement of various sorts, but they may not be in the traditional forms. So they, you know, they may be increasingly through virtual realms or through other kinds of communities besides political parties or churches. I mean, so,
That's interesting. And Ann Fishman, a last word on that in our last 30 seconds?
They are a generation of builders. They are exactly like the generation that came in after World War II and rebuilt the world. So we have in place now two generations, Generation X, a generation capable of making very hard decisions, and Generation Y, a generation of big thinkers who feel empowered and capable of creating programs that help not only themselves but others. It's a 1-2 punch, and it's a wonderful 1-2 punch.
Ann Fishman is president of Generational Targeted Marketing. Imani Perry is a law professor at Rutgers and author of Prophets of the Hood. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.